Who should be in charge of treating the some 300,000 Michigan residents who have serious chronic mental illness? That's the controversial question at the heart of a years-long effort to improve mental health care. At stake, who ultimately controls the state's nearly $2.6 billion Medicaid mental health system? Here's Kevin Fisher, executive director of the Michigan chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, speaking on Stateside in 2017.
There are a lot of concerns with oversight, with where the money ends up, with how we are or are not able to reinvest in the system if we take it from a public to a private system. Mm-hmm. And that has been our concern, and that's the concern of the people who utilize the services.
Private health plans argue they can deliver better mental health care at a lower cost than the public system. But state health officials announced last week pilot projects to test new models for delivering care will be delayed by another year to October 2020. NAMI's Kevin Fisher is back with us now. Kevin, there were three pilot programs expected to be working in six counties. Remind us, what was the purpose of these pilot programs?
It was to better integrate behavioral and other physical health care to make it more cost effective, reduce stigma, and basically deliver better outcomes for people who live with mental health diagnosis in Michigan.
And DHHS sent a letter to legislative leaders earlier this month saying some progress has been made, but, quote, major outstanding questions remain. What major issues are still unresolved?
The one that I'm aware of is the finance structure is still an issue, and the issue of responsibilities and basically liability. Who is going to be responsible for what?
And so they are delaying the pilot projects until October 2020. So what does this latest setback and this overall inability to sort out these fundamental issues say to you?
That from the beginning, this process was not well thought out. It shows that there was no plan of execution in 2017. When the health plans presented to the legislature and the department back in 2016 that they could achieve these savings, at no time in the now 3.5 years that I've been involved in this process have we ever been told how they plan to achieve those savings, how they plan to deliver integrated care better than the public system could. And I think, again, in hindsight, going back 3 years, there was no plan then. And I don't think there's one now, which is why we continue to see these delays pushed out, because there was never a plan.
Kevin, this can get pretty wonky. Healthcare policy is complex. I don't need to tell you that. But boil it down for us. Why is this conversation about integrating physical and mental health care in Michigan so important? Why should people pay attention and care?
Well, and let me be clear. We as advocates, even the people who receive services in the state of Michigan, are not against integrated care. It is how we achieve it. Again, the health plans have a dismal at best record of providing service to people who live with mild to moderate mental health diagnosis. So the expectation that they could better deliver services for people who live with severe and persistent mental health diagnosis didn't make sense from the beginning, because they just don't have the breadth of knowledge, history, and expertise to deliver that. The people of Michigan should be really concerned about this and paying attention, because at the end of the day, mental illness affects us all, whether directly or indirectly. If you don't feel safe sitting in a movie theater anymore, if you don't feel safe sitting in a restaurant, then mental illness affects you. And this is a big part of our budget. And the fact is, we can and should deliver better outcomes, which benefits our entire state. It improves outcomes for the people who live with mental health diagnosis. People are able to live better quality of life. They're able to be employed. They have families. They have a sense of self-being and a sense of self-worth. That benefits us all.
There have been attempts in other states to let private health plans take more control over mental health care. How has that gone?
Not very well. There is a document out there called Lessons Learned from six states that attempted. In particular, Iowa and Kansas was a tremendous failure, because privatizing is not always the solution. At the end of the day, When you privatize, you're diverting responsibility and finances to a for-profit organization who ultimately their desire is to make a profit. And we understand that. The problem with that as it relates to delivering behavioral health care is there is an upfront cost that we all have to accept for long-term benefit and gain. And the health plans are impatient and unwilling to wait to achieve those savings. And even if you achieve the savings in administrative costs in, let's say, the first or second year, then how do you continue to deliver profits to your shareholders? After a while, the only way you can do that is by cutting services, which is exactly what we do not need.
This process of designing what's called the Section 298 initiative to kind of design this pilot model, this is moving into its fourth year now. Where do things go from here, and what concerns you the most?
The continued delays concern me the most because, again, to continue to delay this further highlights the fact that there was no real plan to implement this from the beginning. If you remember, we spent about 18 months on a work group. It was referred to as the former Lieutenant Governor Calley 298 work group, where the legislature tasked us with making recommendations on how the system would move forward. To this day, we have never heard anyone explain why they didn't follow or at least look at the recommendations that were presented. They've never said, we reviewed them and this is why we're not going in that direction and we're going to move forward with the pilots, with the health plans. So again, I simply don't think there was good thought that went into this. I think there was political motivation for moving forward with privatization and not doing what's best, not only for the people who receive services, but for the citizens of Michigan as a whole, because we all will incur the cost.
Kevin Fisher, Executive Director of the Michigan Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Kevin, thanks.
Thank you.
We offered the Michigan Association of Health Plans, which has been lobbying for the funding changes, an opportunity to join us. We have not heard back.